How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Jay King, back at you with another show talking about Isaiah Thomas's hip, which is better than expected, and more Kyrie Irving stupidity, and there is a lot of it out there. It's all brought to you by our friends at SeatGeek. They have the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events, buy and sell in just two taps. And our friends at Boston Paintball, who are still waiting for your group to go out to one of their three locations all over Massachusetts, owned and operated by Celtics fans. Check them out. More from that in a minute. Let's start, Jay King, with the news today that Isaiah will not need surgery on his hip, which is kind of where we thought this was going. But still good to get that official final confirmation that Isaiah just needs to rest and that it appears that he will be ready to go for the beginning of training camp.
Yeah, and it's something where if you talk to anyone within the Celtics organization, they were always optimistic that Isaiah would avoid surgery. It's just that as the issue dragged on, and now it's in the third month of the offseason, it was just kind of – there was enough uncertainty to kind of be unsettling. And to hear that doctors have finally decided that he is not going to need surgery, it's just nice to hear, to know that he should be ready for training camp, to know that he and Gordon Hayward will team together, should be able to team together for the start of the regular season like they were supposed to. It's nice to hear. Now, I don't know what the hip issue for Isaiah will mean moving forward. He said it's been an issue that is part of his – like he's had it for a long time, the actual structure of his hip. So I don't know whether he'll need to just do a lot of rehab to strengthen the muscles around it to make sure that it's something that doesn't bother him again, or what type of things he'll need to do to manage that moving forward. But without surgery, like, the structural issue is still going to be there. And so you have to hope that it's not going to impact him moving forward. Obviously, it was an issue he dealt with for months, really, at the end of the season, even though we didn't know it for a while. And then obviously it got worse and worse. So hopefully it's something that he'll be able to manage and won't impact him at all throughout the regular season. But it's something to remember moving forward and to keep an eye on moving forward, because, you know, impingement and labral tears, it's not something that just goes away without surgery, I think. So it'll definitely be something that he'll have to keep an eye on and keep track of and really, pay attention to so that it doesn't impact him moving forward.
Yeah, look, if he's got some sort of structural issue with his hip that makes him more susceptible to tearing the labrum and all of that stuff, then that's going to be a problem. That's going to be something that affects his durability. That's going to be something that affects his contract. If that's the case, Now, like you said, if he can rehab and do hip strengthening and hip exercises and focus on certain kind of warm up stretching kind of focus that helps that, then fine. If it's manageable, then it's manageable.
Yeah,
he's gone this far.
And I'm certainly no doctor, and I'm certainly no expert on impingement. But I actually did have impingement in my shoulder, and I had it when I was in college. And I couldn't lift my arm up, like to try to shoot. I couldn't lift it. Like I could barely lift it at all, and it was killing me for a while. And what I did was I just had to do like stupid, silly rehab exercises that built up all the muscles around my shoulder, and I've been fine ever since. And so maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's just something where he needs to pay more attention to the area and build up the rest of the area. And we'll see. For him, I just hope it doesn't impact his next contract, because he's a guy who is drastically underpaid, and he deserves to get paid a lot more than he does right now. And it would be horrible to me to see him miss out on a huge payday or part of a huge payday because of lingering hip issues. So I hope it's nothing. It seems like the Celtics are – everyone I talk to seems very optimistic that it will not impact him moving forward and that he should be fine. He said he wants to play till he's 40, and the doctors know that, and nobody seems worried. So we'll see, though. I mean, you never want your 5'9" point guard to have a hip issue. And
right.
And you'd never want him to have a structural issue there, but he does, and maybe it's something that he'll be able to limit, and it maybe it won't, you know, bother him into the future, but we'll see. It is, as I said, definitely something to note and remember, and we'll see. I mean, he just had one of the best years. Like it's tough. Right. It's tough luck that he had to deal with the hip crap at the end of it. And with Isaiah, the question to me is, can he find that magic again? Because it was a magical season, man. It was everything came together for him. He was absolutely electric. He finished top five in MVP voting. He was just a nightly show. Can he reach that level again? And he hasn't proven that he can do it twice in a row yet, because he just reached a new level that he'd never been to, that very few people in NBA history have ever been to. So he's got to be healthy to get there again. There are questions about whether he can reach that level again, but he's a guy who works his ass off, so there's optimism from that end.
I mean, look, let's start from the beginning here. Let's assume that he's healthy. He's got a team of doctors. He's got a team that has its own doctor. He's got the best possible scenario here medically. Everybody is on the same page. They want the same thing. So I'm going to assume that a non-surgical answer is something that everyone is okay with, and he'll be ready for training camp, and he will move forward. Now, ready for training camp means he's going to have the full amount of time to get ready and learn Gordon Hayward and how Hayward's going to fit, where he wants to be, how he wants the ball, when he wants the ball, when to get out of his way, all that stuff. That is important because we're not going to have as much preseason. They've moved the regular season up to start in mid-October now, so they can eliminate a lot of those back-to-backs and some of the travel issues that have caused so many problems. So there's less time to get acclimated with each other. So it's really important that he's going to be healthy and ready to get out there and start getting those early kind of turnover problems between those guys when one cuts and the other didn't think he was going to cut, or vice versa. Like, that stuff gets out of the way. Then once all that stuff is figured out, there's no reason to think that Isaiah can't be in similar situations next season. The only thing that would keep him, to me, from having those same opportunities is the fact that Gordon Hayward is now legitimately capable of also taking shots in that fourth quarter crunch time, and it's not everybody staring at Isaiah Thomas and waiting for him to save the day. Gordon Hayward's going to be able to come in and save the day too. So I think that Isaiah will still be in those situations because he's got guys around him that are good enough to take enough attention away that he'll have a lot of those big shots. But maybe it won't be as dramatic because Hayward will hit a couple of those big shots. So I don't think that's going to have a big impact on Isaiah's production. He just might not get as many shots in the fourth quarter because he's finally getting the help that he needs down the stretch. So we're not just staring and looking slack-jawed at Isaiah and hoping that he gets hot enough that he can start tapping his wrist every once in a while.
Yeah, he did that more than once in a while last year. To me, but it's like okay, I'm going to make a comparison that is not a player comparison. Like Isaiah Thomas is a very different player from Stephen Curry. But 2 years ago, Stephen Curry reached a place that, like, really no guard had ever reached. And it was just like he had the hottest year he could possibly have. He was just on another level. And to expect him to repeat that would have been foolish. And I don't know if Isaiah has reached that stage in his career. Like was that something that was just like the peak of Isaiah Thomas's career? And even if he's great again, like Stephen Curry was the following year, it'll be a different type of great and not quite so great. Like those 3 months he had, or 2 months or whatever it was, December, January, he was just so outrageous. And it was every night he was out of this world, so good. And I think it's a lot to ask him to repeat that, even if he's really, really good. Like just the fact that he was on another planet for so long last season is and maybe he can duplicate that, maybe he can reach that place again. But if the hip is at all an issue, that's bothersome. And I don't know if it will be. Again, everyone stresses confidence about it, but it's a factor that could impact it. The Gordon Hayward fit, I don't think that's going to be too much of a problem. Maybe it'll take some touches from Thomas, but he needed someone like Gordon Hayward to take the pressure off. And you saw it in the playoffs especially. Like the Wizards were able to send three guys. They were able to key everyone in on Isaiah Thomas and focus on what he was doing at all times. The Bulls, to a different extent, tried the same thing. And the Cavaliers, like they were sending everybody at Isaiah Thomas. So the fact that he has Gordon Hayward, it's a great fit. And Gordon Hayward, he's not a guy who dominates the ball. And I don't think Isaiah Thomas, for all that he does, he's not a guy who dominates the ball either. And I think that's the best part about trying to fit him in with another player is that he's so great off the ball and he demands so much attention off the ball that he's going to help a guy like Gordon Hayward have freedom and more space even when he's not touching the ball all the time. So I think that's a great partnership and in the making, and especially because on top of all that, Gordon Hayward has a lot of length, and that type of length can help hide Isaiah Thomas's deficiencies defensively. So I'm looking forward to seeing all that. Obviously, it's got to be, even though the Celtics figured Isaiah Thomas was not going to have surgery, it's got to be a huge sigh of relief for them just knowing finally that he's not going to have it and that he's able to go out and shoot around and that he's on the bike and he's progressing toward what looks like a training camp return and that everything seems fine. That's a huge sigh of relief for them because they relied on him for so much last year and they've built a team that hopefully won't have to rely on him so much, but he's still a huge, huge piece of it. And he needs to be fully healthy if they're going to accomplish another deep playoff run.
Yeah, that was the other point that I was going to make is when it comes to Isaiah Thomas heroics, I hope that there won't be as many Isaiah Thomas heroics this season because I'm hoping that we won't need them this season. That all of those down-to-the-wire games that they had, that he bailed them out and he needed to bail them out, I'm hoping that the blowout-averse Celtics are not so blowout-averse that maybe at the end of fourth quarters, these guys will be sitting after having built big leads rather than having Isaiah have to go back out there and bail them out.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to be able to like start writing your recap in the fourth quarter and not have to change it dramatically and scrap it to get in ahead of your deadline?
Although sometimes last year it got so predictable that I'd start writing like my Isaiah Thomas is a hero recap in the second quarter while they were up 15. It'd be like, oh, Celtics blew a big lead, and Isaiah Thomas was just electric in the fourth. You knew it was coming. But, yeah, I agree. And especially I think it's a huge deal to have Isaiah Thomas, to have both of them and to be able to stagger them and to be able to have one of them with the bench units at all time so that the scoring doesn't drop off like it did so dramatically when Isaiah Thomas was off the court last season. I think that's a huge deal. And I think, you know, all those leads that disappeared last season, maybe the Celtics hold on to them now because they have another guy that they can turn to as the primary playmaker when Isaiah Thomas is sitting. And I can't stress enough how big a deal that is. And like you said, it could be the piece that lets them build on top of those leads rather than lose those leads when they go to the bench. It could be just a huge deal. And if they do that, then you're right. Like, King in the fourth, maybe no more, because King in the fourth, it'd be nice if King in the fourth got to sit on his throne in the fourth quarter.
Hey, Nicely done.
That was nice. I know. I like that one.
That was good. I think it'd be fun. I like that idea of staggering those guys and obviously starting them together, but then for stretches in the middle of the game, let them kind of carry, let them each carry part of the team at different times. That would really be, I think that would really, really be a huge help. And I think for fans who buy tickets, you'd love to at least, you get to see either Isaiah Thomas or Gordon Hayward on the floor at all times. That's fun. So bust out your SeatGeek app, and now that you know that Isaiah Thomas is going to be healthy, you can buy some of those tickets for the first few games of the season and feel like you're not going to get cheated out of Isaiah Thomas missing games due to his hip. Now, the schedule hasn't been released, but you don't have to buy just NBA tickets on SeatGeek. We know that it's great to buy tickets to sports. Baseball, obviously going on right now. Concerts, lots of great concerts out there. And theater, if you are someone who appreciates the theater, like Jay King, I know is a huge theater guy. So
big time theater guy.
Oh, yeah. You could use the SeatGeek app to buy and sell tickets in just two taps. They help you find the best seats at the best prices. It's fully guaranteed. Now, I like to use my SeatGeek app in cities where I've never been before. It's a great way if you're just kind of looking for something new to do. When you open up the SeatGeek app and it gives you all of those options, it gives you great ideas for what to do in a new city, someplace to explore, or just kind of rediscover your own city and you may not realize what's going on around you that you can buy a ticket to. So you know that SeatGeek will help you save the time and money. You can search multiple ticket sites because they put them all in one place and compare prices and find amazing deals. You can go get the most bang for your buck because SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value, so you can immediately identify the best seats to fit your budget. Whatever your budget is, they will help. And it's fully guaranteed, so you can go and shop with complete confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports to concerts to comedy and theater. All you've got to do to get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase, download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code LONBA. That's promo code LONBA for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. And you can do that to buy tickets to the Celtics and whomever they're playing. And who knows if whatever team they're playing that's not the Cavaliers is going to have Kyrie Irving on. Where's Kyrie Irving going to play?
Where the hell is Kyrie Irving going to play? Did you watch that press conference, the Cleveland press conference today?
No, I was driving. I've been on vacation for the past few days, so I was driving back from Cooperstown, New York, after a little trip to the Baseball Hall of Fame and the Omegon Brewery.
Hall of Fame is boring as fuck, by the way.
Oh, no, it's nice. It was nice. Just my first time at the Baseball Hall of Fame. It was nice to kind of walk through and appreciate the history. I enjoyed it.
Baseball Hall of Fame sucks. But anyway,
I missed it today.
The Cavaliers, they introduced their GM, Kobe Altman, who, like, God bless that guy, walks into a steaming pile, like an absolute potential disaster. And, you know, LeBron James is a free agent. next summer, and Kyrie Irving has requested a trade, and this poor guy has to go up and answer questions. And he and Dan Gilbert are sitting next to each other, and all they did was act like everything's fine, like nothing was wrong. At one point, Dan Gilbert said that Indiana didn't get as much as they could have in the Paul George trade, which is like, whoa.
I did read that. As I was traveling, I did see somebody tweet about that.
Since when do GMs go out of their way to like demean what another team has done? I haven't seen much of that in press conferences ever. But clearly he's mad that they didn't accept his Kevin Love offer or whatever it was for Paul George. It was a weird, weird press conference where they basically wouldn't discuss the Kyrie Irving thing, but then acted like everything in Cleveland is fine and they're going to compete for championships for a long time. And LeBron is so committed to Cleveland. And it's like, guys, look around you. The whole motherfucker is burning down.
Yeah.
And
they have fallen apart potentially. If they fall apart now, I mean, insanely quickly, just faster than you could imagine. I thought it was going to take more like luxury tax hell to break them up, but egos get in the way. Kyrie basically saying, I'm sick of not having the ball. I'm not sitting here playing in LeBron's shadow anymore. I want my own team. Like all of that stuff just makes you realize how hard it is to get these super teams together and keep them together. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen in Golden State. It's fine now. But who knows in 2 years if, you know, Klay Thompson. What if Klay Thompson's like, you know what, I'm off on my own piece, whatever. But I know what will happen. Someone from Golden State's going to say, you know, I think I want out. And people are going to start sending me insane trade ideas on Twitter that are going to drive me nuts. And this thing that went around, was it yesterday? It came out Monday. Jason McIntyre of the Big League put out a ridiculous trade suggestion of Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder. I just had it and I lost it.
And the Brooklyn pick.
Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, the Brooklyn pick for Kyrie Irving. Was there another player involved? Maybe.
No, I think that was it. But it was more than enough.
That's so ridiculous. Especially when, and this is the one thing that I was fighting. People who follow me on Twitter, you know, I know some of you might wonder why I do it. I have fun with it, but there's people out there like, no, Kyrie is so clearly better than Isaiah Thomas. You have to give up all of these things for him. Like, no, he's not. He's younger. I get that. And maybe Isaiah's going to make more money than him next year. Probably will. So I get that from a team building. If it was straight up and you said Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving, just in a vacuum, straight up, I get that the youth and the contract make that. I get it. But to trade anything else and to look at the team that you have and to have a guy like Kyrie who is an amazing scorer, an elite level scorer, but dribbles the ball like to no end and won't be, I don't know if he fits necessarily in the ball movement type of scheme that the Celtics are putting together. He plays as little defense as Isaiah Thomas does with no excuse of height. And his numbers, especially his numbers last year weren't as good as Isaiah Thomas's. So to add in Jay Crowder on a solid player on an amazing deal and to throw in a potential top five pick for why would you want to give Cleveland all of those things to make them better? You give them Isaiah, which is basically Kyrie. You give them Jay Crowder on an awesome deal, and you give them a chance to add a top five pick in a really good draft next year. Are you nuts? Like, that to me is such an idiotic suggestion. And the fact that people like Tony Maz were jumping on saying, I'm in. If you agree with Tony Maz on a trade idea, then an NBA trade idea anyway, then that's your first clue that you're probably very, very wrong.
Yeah, the whole thing about that to me is, why on earth would Boston want to give LeBron James more ammunition, more reason to stay in Cleveland? And now Kyrie Irving is great. He is a fantastic, remarkable talent, one of the top scorers in the league, just a gifted offensive player. I understand that. I understand he's done some wonderful things deep into the playoffs. The Game 7 3, that was a legendary shot. He's had some legendary finals games. He's a fantastic player. Isaiah Thomas last year was his equal, at least. Now, to trade them straight up, if I were Boston, yes, I would do it. I would do it because Kyrie Irving's younger. I would do it because Kyrie Irving has more years on his deal. I would do it because Kyrie Irving doesn't have the hip issue that Isaiah Thomas is coming back from. I would do it for a lot of reasons. But Kyrie Irving, to me, is, first of all, like one of the most – I'm fascinated by what will happen to him without LeBron James. Second of all, you cannot do that because if you add to make the salaries work, you have to add pieces on top of Isaiah Thomas to make the trade. So you have to add Jay Crowder, who's a quality starter. And you'd have to add, you know, a pick to probably entice the Cavaliers to give up a guy on a longer contract. And you can't do that if you're Boston because you do not want LeBron James staying in Cleveland. You want LeBron James the fuck out of the Eastern Conference. You want to watch Cleveland burn and you want to piss on their ashes once they burn. Like, this is not a situation where Danny Ainge should be doing anything that could possibly help the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I think if you add up Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder or Marcus Morris and whatever other piece they would need to get a trade done, it just makes no sense whatsoever for a deal to happen. A deal is not happening. I would bet my entire life on that not happening. But I am fascinated to see what Kyrie Irving becomes without LeBron James. And I do think he hasn't played like the most beautiful brand of basketball in the past, but he's so gifted offensively. And Cleveland, like, they've just run ISOs. It's not like they try to run offense. They don't. And maybe that's because of him, but I think if you built an offense around him, I think he could just do so many things. Like, he is so gifted. And my brother called him today. He's just an offensive savant. It's like he can just walk out there and do things that nobody else can do. He's has so many ball skills. He's like just a ridiculous finisher. Some of his finishes are totally impossible. And I do want to see him without LeBron, but I also haven't seen him do it without LeBron. When LeBron has been out, the Cleveland Cavaliers have been pitiful. And I think for a lot of reasons, Kyrie Irving has been in the perfect situation. All he's had to do is isolate and score and get buckets. And that's what he's built to do. That's what he's perfect for doing. But I haven't seen him lift a team up. And I think there's a big question about whether he can do that. And maybe he can. It's very possible. We just never seen him have to do it. But we know Isaiah Thomas can do that. When Isaiah Thomas is on the court, the Celtics have just an amazing offense. When Kyrie Irving was on the court without LeBron James, the Cavaliers' offense cratered. So there are questions about him, and I don't think that's necessarily like that will necessarily hold true. And I think there's a possibility that when a team builds around him and gives him the keys to the offense, he does amazing things, and he lifts everybody up, and he's so damn good. Like, he's super efficient, even though he takes such tough shots. He's incredibly gifted. But I haven't seen him play winning basketball outside of a team with LeBron James on it. And when LeBron James has been sitting, he hasn't been great. So I've got questions about him. And I would still trade him. Yeah. I would still trade him straight up for Isaiah Thomas. But you're not going to be able to do that. It's impossible to do it. So everybody, shut up with your fake trades. go back to your shanties and stop saying the Celtics should pile up all these goddamn goodies and give a similarly productive player to Kyrie plus a starter plus a top five pick probably from Brooklyn to the best team in the Eastern Conference and convince LeBron James to stay there long term. No! No! Fuck no! Fuck no!
This is... Tell us how you really feel, Jay.
Fuck no!
Me, this would be like us going to play paintball and me giving you a regular paintball gun and you giving me a supercharged chain gun that fires paintballs at like 100 paintballs a minute. Like, that would be the result of the Isaiah Kyrie trade. If that gun exists, I want to use it at Boston Paintball.
That was like you tried too hard there.
Yeah, really?
Keep going, though. Tell them about Boston Paintball. Boston Paintball is a great place.
It is a great place. I want to get like a super high powered paintball gun now and just gun you down for shitting on my transition.
See, there you go. Now it's legit. Now I just lifted you up. Like, that's what Kyrie needs to become.
Yeah, he needs to become that kind of guy who lifts me up, knows what his teammate needs,
yep,
and raises that teammate's game. Now I want you on my team playing paintball.
See?
At Boston Paintball, at one of their three locations, because they've got three for you to choose from. If you go to bostonpaintball.com, you can check out all three. You can go get outdoor competition, Woods Ball Fields in Maynard, indoor night play at Chelsea, or the 23-building apocalyptic cityscape in Ashland with a hospital, airplane, and army deuce. Go to bostonpaintball.com and make your reservation online so you can see all three of those things. And you can bring kids as young as 8 because those 8-year-olds are going to be playing Splatmaster. And for 10-year-olds and higher, there's low-impact classic paintball. And the rest of us get to play that crazy fun, go out there in one of those three places and shoot each other full of paint. If you don't know, Boston Paintball has been around since like the old Boston Garden days. I mean, they've been at this for decades. They are owned and operated by Celtics fans. So spend your money at a place that's going to support a local business, that's going to support a fellow Celtics fan. They will take your group and they will make you a hero. They will take your group of kids, your little leaguers, if you want to celebrate a championship or celebrate a fun season, take your little league team, take your Boy Scout group, your Girl Scout group, your boys club, your girls club. You want to do something fun, take them to Boston Paintball. It's not that crazy thing that you might have thought Boston Paintball was. It's changed a lot over the years. So go to bostonpaintball.com, tour those three facilities online through their video tours, and then use the coupon code GREEN, you will get $50 off a group package. BostonPaintball.com, coupon code GREEN, and you will get $50 off a group package. Go check them out today. And if any people start sending me crazy trade ideas, I will personally take you to Boston Paintball, tie you up to a tree, and have at you, because I'm sick of those ideas. I'm just sick of them. It's not going to work.
Boom.
I do agree with you, though, that it's going to be interesting to see what Kyrie does. Now, in fairness to Kyrie, he was a rookie and learning the game. And that was before the LeBron return. And now he's grown into him. He's only 25. So he's had a couple years to get in that LeBron mode. Now he's entering his actual prime. So we'll see what he's learned from the game. What can he do? My problem is, and why I have a big problem with him kind of not wanting to be part of this and ride this out. I just don't like that, how that, for his attitude. Like, if he's so desperate to become the man, like, what more does he want? He's going to get paid the max money. He's got endorsements. He's got the nickname. He's got all that stuff. People think he's a star. I think that means he's kind of a little overrated by some people who put him in a – I've seen people say he's a top six player in the NBA, which he is not. He's not a top six player in the NBA. But he's got that attitude. He's got that reputation. you know, ride this thing out in Cleveland. And then once it starts to fall apart, then you can go.
But you know what I started thinking about when I started reading about his situation was what they said about the big three in Boston when it was Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce. And they all said it only worked because they had done all their individual stuff by themselves. Like, they had gotten their all-star appearances, and KG had won his MVP, and they had done all that alone. Kyrie never had that period where he could do that. Like, just when he got good enough, when he was coming into his own as an individual player, he was teamed with LeBron James. And so he hasn't had that run of getting individual accolades and piling up his stats to just ridiculous places. I think he could win a scoring title if he was by himself. He averaged something like 35 points per 36 possessions when LeBron James was off the court last season. Like, he's a ridiculous talent, but he hasn't had that. And so whereas other people just want to compete and win and sacrifice, and they're willing to sacrifice their games, he's done all that. And so for him, what he hasn't experienced is that situation where he can just be free to do his own thing. And so in a weird way that a lot of other guys are drawn to winning, I think he's drawn to a situation where he wouldn't necessarily be expected to win and compete for championships and sacrifice like he has so far. So I kind of understand why he wants that. It's weird to me because if I were in that situation, there's no way I'd want out of a LeBron James team. But I also get it. Like there are articles about him. Can he win? Is he more like Damian Lillard or Kobe Bryant? And maybe he wants to see. And I'm sure he thinks he's more like Kobe than Dame Lillard. And Dame Lillard's a great player, don't get me wrong. But he doesn't want people to guess anymore. He wants people to know what he can do when he's by himself, whether that's pile up huge stats or lead a deep playoff run or whatever the case. He wants people to see everything he has to offer, and maybe people haven't yet.
It's going to be interesting. I want to see him in New York. He can pile up his stats. They're going to never be anything under Dolan. So it's like he can get his numbers. The Knicks will continue to suck no matter what because they're the Knicks, and Dolan just can't let that team have any sort of success. So that to me, even though he stays in the East, neutralizes the threat, and maybe it gets LeBron out of here and he can go try to, you know, do something out west and just clears the path once more for the Celtics, and the Celtics can kind of start planning on NBA finals trips. Because if LeBron goes, if this whole thing falls apart, then the Celtics become, unless Kyrie goes to one of those other teams somehow, he becomes, if he goes to like the Bucks, I heard you guys talking about that the other day, if he somehow goes to the Bucks and that works, and then that may elevate the Bucks, and I don't want to see that. But someplace where Kyrie can go and have his little fun and do his little thing and is no threat to Boston, and LeBron can get out of the conference, and the West can go be the West, and you kill yourselves over there. The Celtics will cruise up into the Eastern Conference and the NBA Finals, and everything will be great. That'd be fun. I'll take that.
that wouldn't be bad. I got one more rant, man. I got one more rant before we end. All right.
Let's go.
I need anyone listening to this, if you are the people who tweet at Jay Crowder that he should be traded or his role should be minimized or complaining in any way about what Jay Crowder has done, just shut up. You don't know basketball. You don't appreciate that he's become a solid, solid two-way starter on one of the NBA's best bargain contracts. He doesn't deserve to be chirped at. He's a rugged, hardworking player who turned himself into a 40% three-point shooter, who is the key to Boston's small ball lineups, who will probably play a huge role for a team that has hopes of reaching the Eastern Conference Finals again and beyond. And Jason Tatum's not ready to take Jay Crowder's minutes. Jaylen Brown's not ready to take Jay Crowder's minutes. I understand wishing Jay Crowder was a more dynamic scorer, but he's not, And that's okay because he does so many other things for the Boston Celtics, and he does all those things on a $7 million a year contract that counts as one of the NBA's 5 or 10 best. So everybody out there who complains to Jay Crowder about what he's done and his role in the offense or his role in whatever, just stop it. Look at yourself in the mirror. Realize Jay Crowder is better at basketball than you will ever be at anything in your entire life. And then go tweet him that you're sorry.
Tell him, Jay.
And that you respect him. And because Jay Crowder just gets so much goddamn hate. And it used to be Al Horford on Twitter who got all the hate. But then Al Horford just had a monster playoffs and stomped on everyone who ever fucking doubted him. And now it's Jay Crowder who gets it. And for whatever reason, he gets a lot of grief on Twitter. Whenever I tweet about Jay Crowder, I get the haters even crawling into my mentions. And it's ridiculous that he gets as much grief as he does. I understand he's not the most dynamic scorer, and that's really like his only true fault is he's not the most dynamic scorer. And Just stop it, guys. Yeah. Just stop it. He was a throw into the Rajon Rondo trade, who now is a starter on an Eastern Conference Finals team for $7 million a fucking year.
Right. Instead of celebrating the fact that this guy, who was languishing at the end of Dallas's bench, turned himself into a starter caliber guy. At this contract, his production is perfect. It's perfect. Okay? Yeah. Do you want more out of him? Okay, sure. What do you want? Somebody tweeted at me because that was my previous fight on Twitter where I came out and said, stop with the Crowder slander.
Yeah, you've been beefing on Twitter lately.
I have been. I had too much stupidity out there. I got to set people straight.
You went at that one dude's neck, telling him he should get Felger's coffee. Whoo!
Oh yeah, the board op. Yeah. Well, look, dude.
I grabbed my popcorn for that. That was too personal, man. Keep it hoop. Keep it hoop. As Isaiah Thomas says, keep it hoop. You got to keep it hoop, man.
Now you jump into my mentions. I don't follow him. He doesn't follow me. He came into my mentions and started basically dissing me, like just saying ha ha ha, like doing the laugh emojis because I said that what I'm saying now about Crowder. I'm like, really? Like, you know. Get the hell out of here, man. Get that dude. I'm not even using his name because it's not worth it. He goes out there. He's a board op. And he's sitting there trying to say, I break all this news. When he works for CBS Radio, I didn't see one damn CBS outlet. There's CBS television. There's CBS radio. They have websites. I've not seen or heard one outlet use his information. If you're such a damn newsbreaker, why aren't your own employers using the news that you break and crediting you? They don't. So that's that.
We got
Crowder.
We've had some rants on this show, man. This is like all-time rant city.
Right. I'm looking at salaries here. Jay Crowder makes just about $7 million, just under $7 million. So I'm just gonna rip off some names that make more money than Jay Crowder. Okay? Cole Aldridge makes more money than Jay Crowder. Etuan Moore makes $8.4 million. Okay? No disrespect to Etuan Moore, but come on. Come on now. Dwight Powell makes $9 million. Let's see. Alec Burks makes $10.5 million. Kelly freaking Olynyk makes $10.6 million. What up? What? No, I'm only kidding.
I was about to go on a rant against Kelly Olynyk haters, man.
But you can go onto these sites and say, you know, you can look at who makes all of this money and who would you rather have. And look, I understand. I had somebody come at me and say that I would rather have 10 times player the player at 4 times the salary. Well, yeah, that's a max player. Of course, you're saying you'd rather have LeBron James over Jay Crowder? Well, way to take a fucking stand. Yeah. You know? Yeah, okay. I'd rather have a guy that I paid $28 million play that position. It's kind of what you would want for all of the positions. A guy that's a max level player at all of the positions. But you got to have on teams players like Crowder who outperform their deals. Because if you have those guys, if you have like Avery Bradley was outperforming his contract, that's part of the reason why all of these max contracts were possible. The fact that Avery Bradley last year made what he made and that Crowder made what he made allowed the Celtics to get Al Horford. And that also allowed the Celtics to go get Gordon Hayward because they could clear a guy like Avery Bradley, get a decent return for him because he's so outperforming his contract. A team would give up something like, you know, Morris in exchange. Like you could draw something, you can get your money's worth. Like all of these things, these are the reasons why you build good teams. Guys who outperform, role players who outperform their contracts. This was used in the example of Tim Hardaway Jr. in New York. When the Knicks came out and said, well, I figure, what are they paying, $17 million a year? Then they said, well, we think that that's what his value is. That on the market, his market value is he's going to be a $17 million a year guy. Okay, fine. But you could have gotten him for less than that. And that's how you build winning teams. When you get a role player like that, you pay less money for than what his actual performance is going to be. That's how you build championship teams. You know, it's those guys. It's the Andre Iguodala contracts. Or, you know, the ways they fill out their bench. Like, those guys are super, super important. So a guy like Jay Crowder, who shoots 40% from three, who's worked his ass off to get to that level, and people say, yeah, he falls in love with the three. Well, he shoots it at 40 damn percent. Yeah, fall in love with the three. That's something you should be falling in love with. When you shoot at that high a rate, you should be in love with the three. You're good at it. Shoot it. Like, see, you got me hot. I wasn't even going on a Crowder rant, and you got me hot.
See? I told you, I lift people up like Kyrie should dream of.
You're out here raising games,
JK. I'm out here just dishing dimes left and right, man. I'm a true point guard of the podcasting game.
Oh, great stuff. Good stuff. I want to remind everybody to go visit our friends at SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek app. Use the promo code LONBA for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. If you haven't downloaded the app, you should because it really works and it helps you get good tickets for everything, not just sports, at a good value. Also, Boston Paintball. Go there. Use the coupon code GREEN on bostonpaintball.com. You get a tour of one of their three facilities. And you'll get $50 off with the coupon code GREEN for a group package. Subscribe to us if you haven't done so already. Please do that. Search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts. We are now on Spotify. That's a big, big deal. We are on Spotify.
Oh, we're on Spotify? I didn't know we were on Spotify.
Yeah, man. We just got onto Spotify, dude. We're big.
Big time.
Do that. Find us there. Rate us. 5 stars, leave a good review. Let the people know how good this show is. Let them know that they should be subscribing if you are a subscriber by letting them know. It's a 5-star rating and a quick good review that really, really helps us out. And stick around for the next show. We'll do another one for you because we're here throughout the offseason, no matter what. This is the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah.
Jay King and John Corrales. Locked On Celtics.
Hi, you've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.